Climate Interactive and the Collider, thecollider.org in downtown Asheville. We're so lucky to have such a great place. I was down there twice in the past 2 weeks.
All right.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Andrew or Drew, which do you prefer?
Call me Drew.
Drew, good to see you, man.
Thanks. Welcome. Happy to be here, Jeff.
This is pretty awesome. World Climate Week simulation activity.
Yeah. I
mean, that sounds like a geek's paradise. Is what it's
climate geek paradise. Totally.
It really is. And free beer and pizza to go with
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely. If you want to be involved. Asheville is one of only 20 cities worldwide who are doing this event. Explain, if you will, briefly what this event is.
Yeah, people around the world are getting together to play this game. And what it is, it's like a model UN game where I stand Ban Ki-moon and people play the roles of China and U.S. and Uruguay and Guam, and they negotiate a climate agreement. They yell at each other, they eat pizza, they drink beer, and solve this problem in a really constructive way as opposed to like beating ourselves up and getting sad.
Mm. Do you have anyone scheduled to play Donald Trump in this game? Because I think there needs to be a spoiler kind of character who just comes in and throws pizza out of people's hands and kicks tables over.
There is a specific role of like the fossil fuel industry and Donald Trump, and I take the most crazy. A friend of mine, Jim Barton, is a local activist. He's going to be there. I'm going to make him play the opposite of himself, which is Donald Trump. So he goes there and just messes it all up and spreads disinformation.
There's no way, we have now discovered, there is no way to go too far in that portrayal.
We saw it last night.
We saw it last night. Yeah.
They turned it over to Trump, and immediately he resorted to like 1992 like talking points. What did he say? Clean coal.
Clean coal.
What the hell is clean coal? Yeah. Clean coal, that's not even like, that's like saying healthy cigarettes. We need healthy cigarettes.
Well, now, but you're bringing up Mike Pence's talking points when you do that. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it really is. It's just crazy to think about it. There is no clean coal.
Right.
Coal is the fifth leading killer of people on Earth today. Wow. And we need to get rid of it. And it's going to be easy to get rid of it because we're making so many jobs in solar and in wind. In this last year, in 2015, U.S. solar created more jobs than oil and gas exploration, 77% more. That's where the future is. That's where the money is.
Well, you can't tell me, by the way, and I can't believe, by the way, that they're not making this argument is, you know, oh, these poor coal miners, they're going to be out of work. It's like, no. If you had the option of building windmills or solar panels versus crawling in the ground and dying in a cold, dark place where you cave in, I believe they would all be like, "Yeah, let's get out of the mine,
absolutely,
and let's get up to the surface." Yeah,
and it's where the future is. That's where future jobs are going to be. Investment in renewables is almost double fossil fuels globally, $260 billion a year. This is where the clean energy revolution is happening.
It's amazing. And so the debate last night, I'm sure a lot of folks watching and paying attention to some of the things he said. Clean coal. Natural gas was another.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a part of me that wanted Hillary Clinton to, like I said, just go, why do you want to work at a coal mine? We want to hire you and pay you a living wage to build windmills and solar panels and so forth. That would have been the winning
answer. And to be fair, when you just mentioned natural gas, it was Hillary who said that. We need natural gas as a bridge. And even she is wrong. She's not quite radical enough about this.
Right.
We don't have time to build a lot of natural gas plants. It's still a fossil fuel.
Yeah.
And we need to frack to get it, which is messing up groundwater supplies, micro earthquakes and things.
Creating earthquakes more in Oklahoma than on the San Andreas Fault.
Absolutely. Yeah. So she needs to move and catch up with more like the Sanders line, which is keep the coal, oil, and gas safely in the ground.
Right.
That's what we need to do. And now there's no excuse not to, because we have alternatives.
And we do have alternatives. There's a part of me that hopes that she is sort of saying that in order to keep the big check writers and the lobbyists happy. It's like, you know, gotta keep them from going completely bonkers, and then hopefully she will do the right thing given the
option. The word is that she will do the right thing around a carbon price, which is what we really, really need.
Okay.
Many conservative economists even say that we need it. 40 countries around the world have carbon prices, including China.
Right.
We don't hear about this, but that's really what needs to happen to keep the coal, oil, and gas safely in the ground. And I think she'll make that happen when she's elected.
And explain what that means a little bit more, the carbon price.
A carbon price is basically, you know, we pay for the cost of carbon in when we burn it, we have respiratory problems from in the air. We have climate change and other things. We're paying that price, but it's not reflected when I go and pay for my electricity with Progress Energy with Duke.
Right.
When I buy a gallon of gas here, you don't pay for it that way. We just need to add the price to carbon like we add taxes to other things. Right. It's a tax. It's basically a carbon tax.
Sure.
So that we can capture some of that money so that we can deal with some of these problems.
Mm.
And it also will lead to more renewable, more wind and solar, as opposed to coal, oil, and gas.
Right. We've got to move in that direction, absolutely. You know, to get there, of course, and this is not political discussion per se, but, you know, we've got to make sure that, that people have better wages, and people have better education, and people have better opportunities.
Absolutely.
Because if they can afford that added-on tax, then it won't be a burden. And I think that's the big pull right now, is that, that they keep the right wing, and part of this move is to keep people in a situation where they can't afford to pay what they need to be paying in order for us to evolve to the next level. So a lot of moving parts that are holding us back.
There are. And luckily, a lot of the revenue from a carbon price can be re-dividended back to the lower income people who couldn't afford to pay higher taxes. So there's a huge revenue stream that could be turned back so that it doesn't hurt people's pocketbooks.
Drew, you're working at the Collider, but I think you should be on the cabinet of a Clinton administration with a talk like that. She needs to hear some of this talk. Now, let's talk about the climate. Everybody has been talking about it. We are heavily involved today in a fun drive to help hurricane relief victims.
Absolutely.
Which is going to be massive.
With Ingalls, right?
We're out there all day.
I just
came from there.
What are you guys doing?
People are dropping off donations of bottled water, canned goods, prepackaged snacks, cleaning supplies, blankets, pet food, everything.
Absolutely.
People are turning out and they're dropping things off. This now is the second time in 2 months that we have had to do one of these.
Oh my gosh.
Louisiana 2 months ago with the storms there. This is becoming the 1,000-year floods, the 100-year storms are happening every 12 months.
Absolutely,
And that's, to me, and I think to people who are willing to look at it honestly, a result of climate change. The severity of this storm, Hurricane Matthew, the water temperatures were higher than they should have been, and so therefore it just was super fuel.
Jeff, you are on it. Listen to you with the climate science, man. Let's get you at the Collider.
Oh, my God. I love it down there.
You're exactly right. And the way to think about it, the way to think about it is what you're talking about right now. It's about Ingalls and about relief, because we have people who are dealing today with the effects of climate change.
Right.
However, in the long term, we need to step back and say, what's really going on? And the way that climate change contributes to this, do you remember Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire in 1998?
Right.
Popping all those homers, jacked up on steroids. Remember those guys' necks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, jacked up on steroids.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that any home run was due to steroids, right? But that year, there were a lot more home runs than usual.
Right.
In the same way, you wouldn't say Hurricane Matthew is due to climate change, but the severity and the number of high intensity of tropical storms and hurricanes are definitely contributed to by climate change.
In the same way
that steroids and those in 1998 and around them jacked up the number of homers.
Right.
So we should think of it that way.
I like that.
Do you like that?
That's a good analogy.
That's a good way to think about it.
We still had home runs, but we had this kind of runaway epidemic of home runs because there was an artificial thing inserted into the equation that shouldn't have been there, shouldn't have been allowed. And after we discovered it, it was controversial. There were hearings about that, about steroids. But
So if we can, not so much. We need to get relief to people who are dealing with Hurricane Matthew. And then we need to make sure that we keep the coal, oil, and gas in the ground, use clean energy and energy efficiency so we don't have hurricanes that are jacked up like we were jacked up on steroids.
Wow. Good. I love that, Drew. Right on the money. And, of course, it's important to note that the best and the brightest minds have assembled in Asheville. Maybe the beer has something to do with it. I don't know. But the Collider, let's talk about the Collider.
Well, it's really remarkable. Like, do you remember, what was it? It was 2007. Al Gore and all those climate scientists got the Nobel Peace Prize. Really exciting.
Yeah.
Many of those scientists sit downtown Asheville at NOAA, which is the largest repository of climate data on Earth.
And so it's here. It's located here.
It's here in Asheville, the largest repository of climate data, and it is, you know, Thomas Jefferson's little notes and Ben Franklin's and amazing climate scientists. So now what we're doing is pulling people together who are experts in climate solutions and trying to build a cottage industry. An innovation center is how James McMahon describes it. Yeah. And I'm excited to be part of that. I came here 18 years ago because of this community of like-minded people who were, frankly, a lot of climate geeks and people who were committed to making a difference in the world. And that's what we're all up to. And we're all going to get together tomorrow to play this game.
Right.
TheCollider.org is where people come to sign up.
Yes, yes. And you can. I'm on the site right now at that event page. World Climate Week Simulation Activity.
That's us.
Tomorrow,
beer.
Tuesday, 5:30 to 8 p.m., so you'll
Did
be
I mention
home
the free pizza?
Free
and the
pizza and beer. That's insane. Only in Asheville, let me tell you. Name the other cities or the other countries that are participating, because Asheville, you think of Asheville and you go, well, what is it, a bunch of hippy-dippy places? No. Tell us who else is involved
so, people around the world have said, we want to do this game as well. So these are cities in Ghana, Ethiopia, South Korea, Argentina, UK, Nigeria, and Asheville. You know, the big nine.
That's right. Yeah. So we're on the top, another top 10 list, and it's being a part of this. So that's pretty amazing. Do they have free pizza and beer at the one in South Korea? Do you know?
Free sushi.
It's free sushi. We might have the coolest one out of all of those. So this is, I mean, this is impressive, though. We should be very proud of something like this. And obviously, you're working there. Like I said, I was there for the TEDx speak last week, emceeing that event. And I'm just blown away by how cool that space is. People need to acquaint themselves with it. It is amazing what's going on.
Yeah, right next to Pritchard Park, fourth floor of the Wells Fargo building. People can come up and check it out. And, you know, it's amazing what we're doing in the world, which is really on the side of what you're doing with Ingalls, which is we need to respond to what's happening. And so when farmers need to know, hey, what's my weather going to be next year? What seeds should I plant? Where should I plant? When cities are designing, you know, how big, you know, how should I design my city to be ready for storm surges like we see?
Right.
What are we going to see into the future? There are scientists, there are data visualization geeks, and other people who can help the world figure that out. It's just exciting to be part of that growth industry around here.
Well, we're so glad to have you and so glad that you're a part of it. Just real quick before we let you go, what are some of the things that we need to do? Obviously, the architecture is going to change in the 21st century because there's going to have to be a design element put into the preparedness, especially if you're in low-lying areas. What do you see working in this all the time? What do you see as
the easy
solutions?
Job one for people who are out there, it really is to be part of the growing climate movement. We're not going to be able to break through the vested interests that are fighting against climate action until we're able to pull together as society, really like the civil rights movement. It needs that kind of scale of action. And there are amazing groups that are around here, Citizens Climate Lobby, fighting for a carbon price, 350.org, pulling people together to take action on climate change. The Sierra Club is doing so much about moving beyond coal, Mountain True, protecting local lands and thinking about agriculture. Amazing organizations. So I would say be part of the global climate movement. Our children, our grandchildren will ask us, where were you when we got clear about what was really going on? What did you do? There's so much that we can do.
Absolutely. Drew Jones, man, thank you so much for coming by today. This
thank
has been
you
a lot
for making it happen, Jeff.
It's my pleasure. You are with the Climate Interactive at the Collider. TheCollider.org is their website. You do yourselves a favor. Go check it out.
Free beer, free pizza.
Free beer and pizza. Just show up tomorrow night, 5:30 to 8 o'clock. You know, and it's a big space. It can hold a lot of people, but you need to reserve on the website.
Kids
you
got
to click to sign up. You bring the kids too.
Oh, yeah. They're some of the best negotiators around there. They don't back down.
And whoever's playing Trump might have met his match if he's having to debate with a kid.
Absolutely.
I believe that might be the first time that he'll really just absolutely have his Trumpism's handed back to him.
Yeah.
on level. They're on the same level, you know. Drew Jones, thank you so much, man.
Happy to be here.
We'll talk to you. We'll stay in touch and talk to you down the road. I can't wait to hear more about what's going on at the Collider. TheCollider.org. Go check it out. Thanks so much. Let's stay.